In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
No microphone when I'm here, right? Do you need me to be turned on?
No.
Okay. Technical glitches. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with all of you. I'm Karen Mitchell, a retired rector from St. David's in Cranberry, and it's wonderful to be here. So when I was in my late 20s, I was elected to the town council in the town I grew up in. And along the way, I learned a couple of things. One was it forced me to get over my fear of public speaking. That was number one. Thank goodness, because, you know, I had no idea what God had in store for me. And two was that the squeaky wheel definitely gets the grease. Sitting on that town council, I knew and I learned that the best way to get something done was to become more annoying to the public officials than it would be for them to solve your problem. And whenever I have a friend or acquaintance that has an issue or a problem, you just have to go and show up and keep pressing your case until it becomes worse for them to look at you sitting in the council chamber than it is for them to solve you. So that's probably the most important thing I'm going to say to you today. Just don't forget that. Don't forget that. It is sadly the way the world works. So why in the world would Jesus tell us this story? Is he trying to tell us that God is like this judge who only takes care of people who are annoying and does not give justice unless, you know, you are really on his or her last nerve? I don't think so, because this is not an analogy. This is not God is like the unjust, cruel judge. This is a parable. This is a story about how a woman who had no family, no means, was poor, and someone that God would look favorably upon, was able to get the attention of this judge. And Jesus tells us, before we even hear this story, he tells us what we are to take from it. He says, pray always and do not lose heart. Now, I think that probably this was put into the gospel narrative to give people who were tired of waiting for Jesus to come again hope, so that they wouldn't lose hope, so that they would continue to pray. Just as so many thousand years later, we, who are not necessarily expectantly waiting anymore, to be honest, but we who are waiting, don't lose hope. We who see injustice around us, don't lose heart. And that we continue to pray. Because in my mind, prayer is what connects us the most strongly to God. Prayer which strengthens our relationship. Prayer which helps God to know who we are and what we care about. Prayer is the number one. We also show up for worship. That's another really important way for us not to lose heart, for us to be in community, and for us to support one another on this journey where we are persisting and persevering in our faith. Doing good deeds for others. We don't forget to do that, because that is another way that we strengthen our faith and our resolve to follow the ways of Jesus. And Bible study. Because when we study the Bible, we read stories like the one we heard today from Jeremiah. We hear about God's faithfulness to God's people. Because the people that Jeremiah is bringing this word to have been in exile for many generations. They have every reason to think that God has forgotten about them. And here we hear a word. I will write my word on their heart, the law on their heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And God makes a covenant with the people of Israel, who are still in Babylon in exile, that they will no longer be held to an outside standard, the standard of the law, all of those laws that they had to fulfill. and were almost probably impossible to fulfill when they were in Babylon. But now the law would be in their hearts. And that is what our hope is for us as a Christian community, that the laws of God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all the soul, and with all your mind, and the second, to love your neighbor as yourself, are written on our hearts. They're not just things that we see outside of ourselves. So when we do Bible study, we read that. We also read things like the epistle that we heard today, the letter for Timothy, not to go after myths, to seek truth, to really use our faith and Jesus' words as a standard for how we live our lives and how we judge things to be true. Because, boy, is that hard in our culture right now. There's so much coming at us. So when we go back to prayer as our number one way of communicating with God, what's your prayer like? Is it a Christmas list? Sometimes, right? Sometimes. I think of mine as more of a wish list, maybe, because it's not that, you know, I would like a new sweater or a new car or things like that. It's more of a wish list for the people I love, really. It's more holding up the things that I care about. You know, praying for my adult children and grandchildren who are all out there in this world, and that's scary when you really think about it. So definitely hold all of them up. Hold up the church and the communities of the church, the people I know and love who are suffering, who I know need to be brought before God, whether they're praying for themselves or not. So in a way, it is a little like a wish list. And it doesn't mean that I believe that God is going to fulfill every one of those prayers the way I make them. But it does mean that God hears them, that God knows what's in my heart, and will honor that in a way that, although what God knows I need is not always what I think I want, I do put out those prayers for others. So that although it's not always as we wish, God is hearing. And if you think about it, what this widow is granted is justice, right? And doesn't always look the way we would like it to look. I don't know if you've been listening to the news this past week, but I believe it was the Parkland shootings brought back after a long time, brought back a verdict where the shooter was not given the death penalty. And the families were really, really unhappy about that, I could hear. I don't know if it was all of them, but the ones that I heard on the radio, you know, were very upset about it. Justice can be different for each person. Whether you believe in the death penalty or not, whether you feel that would be the ultimate justice or not, these people were disappointed in their justice, and maybe others were grateful for it. So as I said, we have to put God's way out there as the umbrella under which we live. And then under that, we have our desires, we have our hurts, we have our concerns, we have our joys, and we bring all of that to God, because God hears with love. And the prayers of our hearts are held safely. So don't lose hope, because God is listening. And I think I hope each of us here could give an example of a time when they know that prayer was heard. Maybe not answered exactly, but heard. And we learn from Jeremiah that hope is the surety that God has not abandoned this world. Hope is the surety that God has not abandoned or left alone any of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.